Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us every Saturday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. at a2zen.fm. That's the letter A, the number 2, Zen, Z-E-N.fm. And we archive these programs. These programs are archived at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, so we certainly hope that you will avail yourself of those programs and share them with family, friends, neighbors, whoever you care to. Enjoy them. Glean what you can from them. We have the links to our various hosts, or I should say, well, richarddugan.com is the link, to our guests. And we would encourage you to check out our guests and their website and the information that they have available for you as well. Beautiful Saturday afternoon here on the Central Coast in Santa Barbara, California. They all say it's paradise. I have absolutely no reason to disagree with them. Considering where I came from, you've heard of the melting pot? Well, I used to live in the melting pot, Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm glad that I live here because at least now I can soak my hot, tired feet in the nice, cool Pacific Ocean. It's very nice and along the Central Coast. Well, I actually considered starting this program one of two ways. I've already started the program, so you now know the one. The other way was, welcome to Santa Barbara and tell me your story. I'm Richard Dugan and it's nice to have you here and blah, blah, blah. And I was going to come in here with a sour puss because, you know, I'm probably at about 85-90% today. I'm kind of working with this thing that's going around and it's been shared with me, unbeknownst to me. And so I'm doing my utmost not to share it with anybody else, but I am here. And my guest is the reason I chose one of two different ways of opening the program was because of my guest. She has written a book, and she also has a practice. Almost sounds like you have two practices. Willa Young, author of Happiness Instruction Kit, No Assembly Required. Now, first of all, for a guy, now, you got to have some assembly here because we like to build stuff for one. Okay. True. That makes
you
us
like to
happy.
You like to fix it.
That, well, not necessarily fix it, build it. Okay. Now, if it needs fixing, yeah, we probably do it too. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much, Richard, for inviting me. I've really been looking forward to this.
Now,
see, this is a great way to start laughing.
Well, it's because
humor is everything. It's because with happiness.
It's the question I want to throw at you real quick. And that is, you know, life is really tough. To heck with happiness. It's just too darn tough to be happy with everything that's going on in the world. And of course, I tell our listeners, we don't talk about the news any more than we have to. Because they can get that before and after the program.
I believe that very much.
Happiness. What do you mean? Because I've asked people, why are we here? You know, what are human beings here to achieve?
I'm always asking.
And I hear the word joy. I hear the word experiences. You're talking about happiness. What to you is happiness?
That's a good question, because if you don't define happiness for yourself, you don't know what it is. And I find that happiness is different for everybody. One person, what makes one person happy doesn't necessarily make another person happy. First of all, what I want to say about happiness is not a destination. And maybe we've heard this. It is an ongoing journey. I speak a lot throughout the community, throughout the United States, about happiness. I work a lot with self-esteem, president of the Santa Barbara Council for Self-Esteem. There is not a talk that I have not given in the last 20 years where somebody doesn't come up to me afterwards and say, well, you must be happy all the time. You must be thrilled with life. No, I'm not happy all the time. So we need a realistic picture of what is happiness. For me, it is moments, moment to moment, little celebrations, connection to people. That's a big, big part of happiness for me. Connection to other people. And so many people I find become unhappy because they isolate themselves through various reasons.
For different reasons and in different ways.
Absolutely.
Because some people are amidst throngs, yet they found a way to isolate themselves just the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You can be isolated in a room full of people.
Oh, boy, can't you?
Yeah.
And that is the worst feeling of all.
I have to wonder, and I know that New Yorkers are very proud people, those who've been born and raised there, but I have to feel, I get the sense sometimes that they are amongst the, I don't know how many people live in Manhattan.
A lot.
A million, 2 million. Most of them are isolated from one another in spite of the fact that they pass one another in the streets.
And in so many communities, that's the truth. I mean, how many of us, even in this wonderful town of Santa Barbara, know our neighbors or spend more than 2 seconds, hello, how are you, picking up the newspaper? Yeah. So we isolate ourselves. But I find with happiness, we have to be disciplined because, like you say, the news, there's so many horrible things to think about that can make us unhappy. So we have to be disciplined with our thoughts. There's so many negative thoughts that we can think at any given moment. And we have to be schooled. Am I thinking something positive? Am I surrounding myself with positive people? And if we're not, we need to be kind, gentle, compassionate with ourselves to pull us back into the happiness era.
I mean, I could have walked in here. I was 85, 90%, and just like, you know, I just don't really feel like being here.
Exactly.
But the truth is, I'm glad I'm here. It's a little rough sometimes to have to work through stuff like this, and I've done it before in my career.
You're doing great.
Well, thank you. You just have to push yourself through it, especially if it's something that you enjoy doing. By the same token, there's the other side of it. There are times when you have to stop. Your body is telling you, stop. Otherwise, you're going to have bigger gaps between those moments of happiness.
Yes, and we know that, and we say this, but we don't really know, perhaps, that we're like a machine. If you don't have time to rest, you can't recuperate. Yeah. There goes sleep. We know sleep is restorative. Happier people sleep. Happier people are productive. Happier people have lower heart disease. Happier people have higher immune systems. Isn't that interesting? So people that report themselves as happy are, number one, healthier.
Do you remember a gentleman, he's since passed, the late Dr. Leo Buscaglia?
Of course, yeah.
My parents introduced me to him back when I was in my teens and 20s, to our whole family. Extraordinary individual. Wish that I was doing interviews at the time he was alive. I would have had a chance to talk with him. But he had a great story that he told about his mother. And she was in the hospital. And you talk about isolating, but we also isolate others. And the family's over in the corner whispering, about mom. And the mother pipes in, hey,
I'm here.
I'm still alive. I'm over here. And yet we tend to do that. We just had an experience where we live. We have a neighbor who has a couple of dogs, and we've always said, hey, if you need somebody to take care of them, we're here for you. I contacted her, and apparently she had forgotten that. Now, we went over there the other night to make sure they were okay, and they were fine. They were fine. But she said, it's so nice to know that I can count on you guys if I need to.
Well, isn't that the basic need of all of us? We want to know that we matter.
Right.
We want to know that somebody cares about us. We want to feel important. I think that's a basic need. We want to feel on a huge level that we matter. So therefore, we need that connection.
Okay. But you said something before we started. Now, we were talking about, of course, you know, the sad story about Whitney Houston.
Yes.
And then the follow-up story about Demi Moore.
Yes.
First of all, I did not know she was in rehab.
Well, it was reported.
Right. So, okay. Allegedly, she's in rehab. Okay.
Exactly.
But you quoted her.
Yes, I did. Yes, I heard, which made me so sad, still does, that she said at the end of her life, and what is she, all of 48, 49?
Yeah.
All she wanted was to feel lovable, that people were able, or somebody was able to love her. Now, on the flip side of that is to feel lovable and to love oneself.
Yeah.
But when I heard that, and then topped off with Whitney Houston, it just breaks my heart. Because so many people, no matter what they attain on the outside, here are two huge celebrities, Richard, on the inside, they don't feel good enough. They don't feel that they matter. To say they have low self-esteem would be, of course, or no self-esteem.
Yeah.
So they've accomplished so much, and yet on the inside, they feel like nothing. And that is so sad. And so many people that have not accomplished these great things still feel like nothing. You know, have you heard of the Marilyn Monroe syndrome, where she had so much? She had the look, she had the fame, she had the money, supposedly friends, and yet she felt worse because you can blame external circumstances why you're unhappy. So, for instance, you could say, well, if only I had that brand new car, then I would be happy. And the big thing is, only I had more money, then I would be happy. If only I had a great husband. If only I had a great wife. Well, if only I had fame.
Yeah.
So the people that have accomplished this, then they're still unhappy. I believe it makes them feel worse because I have all these things and I still feel awful about myself.
I've worked all this to get this.
So it must really be something fundamentally wrong with me. So in my book, Happiness Instruction Kit, No Assembly Required, I tell the reader, and in my classes as well, you already have what you need inside of you to be happy. You don't have to go out and get something and put it inside yourself.
Yeah.
We already have it. We just need to dust it off, let it come forward, get a little self-confidence slowly, just like ourselves. My biggest thing is to be kind and compassionate to oneself.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
Just take a few moments every day, give yourself positive messages, tell yourself you're good enough, tell yourself you're lovable. It could be, and the best thing, the most exciting thing is, you don't even have to believe it. We know now that you can fool the brain as if you were happy. Is that the best news you'll ever hear today, or probably the whole month, or ever?
So then the concept that I learned in the various programs that I've been through in my life, fake it till you make it.
Is true.
Is true.
And what do actors do? A lot of times they have colds or they don't feel so good. They have to go. What is it? The show must go on.
The show must go on, yeah.
And sometimes they feel better afterwards. Now, we're not talking about certain huge illnesses.
Sure.
But we know scientifically, and there's been a lot of research on this, that we can now fool the brain. And what I mean by that is the brain will secrete the same serotonins, the same feel-good hormones when we're pretending as if we really were happy.
Well, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine. Yeah, that's really kind of cool that you don't need any external sources, if you will. But I was conversing with a friend of mine about this same kind of thing, and he's kind of depressed and not really feeling really good and about himself and his life and so forth, and not suicidal by any means. But I said, okay, and I have to say that this was probably my first therapy session that I conducted with a single individual, or a seminar that I conducted for one. And I said, okay, let me offer you this suggestion, and I ask your observations of this. Go back in your life to a time, any time, where you felt happy. You felt joyous about yourself and about whatever was happening. And in his case, it went back into his childhood.
Yes.
So, okay, I want you to feel. Just hold on to that and feel it. Just take yourself back there. And just hold on to that for 2 or 3 minutes. Just keep running the images through your mind and feeling that. Let that course through your veins. When we were done with that, I said, now here's what I want you to do. Every time you drift over there. Now, as I was sharing this with someone else, they said, well, yeah, but you know, all of our emotions are important. You don't want to negate the depression and the sadness and so forth. I said, I understand that, but this person was stuck. I says, the next time you feel like that, bring that memory up. Now, it may not be real easy, but you've already done it here for 2 or 3 minutes. You've
excellent.
Kept cycling it through, even if, you know, and just keep every time. And it will get easier and easier each
absolutely.
Time. Now, there's a great quote from a book that I read 30 years ago called The Greatest Miracle in the World by Og Mandino, who I also had the privilege of interviewing before his passing. And in the book, he and the main character, Simon Potter, are chatting about happy people, you know, and Simon Potter was kind of challenged about this whole happiness thing, to which Og replied, well, Simon, I can show you a building full of happy people who are happy all the time. That's not what we're talking about here, though.
No, because I think that's totally unrealistic.
Yeah.
As I say, life happens. So what I mean by that is loss happens. Death happens. Are we happy about that? No.
Oh, no.
So we often hear there's seasons of life. There are seasons of grief. And if we don't, research also has shown us, if we don't go through a grieving process, then we that will come back years later to haunt us. We get physical ailments. We get certain kinds of depressions. So when we lose a person that's important to us, or we hear something about a loss, it's often appropriate to grieve.
As well as a
loss. Now, one loss, it would just get tricky. One loss can remind you of another loss, of another loss, of another loss. Yeah. So then you wake up one day and your plant has died. And you're just like, oh, my God, it's the worst day ever. Well, it takes a minute. You have to think, okay, this reminds me of this, and this. And maybe it goes back to one's mother died, or when I was a kid, my father died, or you know, whatever the particulars are. So it is true that it's helpful to remember a time where one was happy. And that's very, very helpful. But there comes the discipline. You know, I find, I don't know about your mind, but so many people tell me their mind is racing over and over. What if this happens? What if that happens? And then it's time to take a deep breath, calm yourself. Or people are always thinking, this one did me wrong, that one did me wrong, I didn't like this, I don't like that. Calm yourself. And when it really gets tough, you can't calm your mind, I just say to myself, cancel, cancel, cancel. The thought. Or just like on the computer, you know, we're busy typing and then we get delete. Mm-hmm. So if we think of our mind as a computer, thoughts are running, racing. A lot of people don't sleep because the mind is delete.
Yeah.
So you just get rid of those thoughts. But that takes discipline.
It does. Now, for anyone to say that they don't have the discipline, they're lying to themselves, because the reality is, if you have a regular schedule that you keep in your life, especially if you're working or going to school, you have the discipline, because you get up every morning.
True.
You get yourself cleaned up and ready to go. You go, you attend, you stay until the clock strikes, and then you go home and you do your routine at home. You have the discipline.
And it doesn't
take. Willing?
Yeah, and it doesn't take. Are you willing? It doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah.
So there comes in two things: attitude and gratitude. And some people say an attitude of gratitude. So one can do little things. If you wake up in the morning, and that's not everybody does, wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And I used to say in my classes through City College, if you wake up and you get out of bed unassisted, it's a good day. And no, my students said, even if it's assisted. So you woke up. That's one thing to be grateful for. Another thing, do you have a roof over your head? A lot of people don't. Can you take a next breath? I mean, what is it that you're grateful for? Can you see? A lot of people can't see. A lot of people, if you can hear the sound of my voice now, it's something to be grateful for. I mean, there's so many little things. And just, I like to tell myself all the time, I will put my one arm over my shoulder and just, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want. We want somebody to say, hey, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay.
There are times I'm driving in the car or walking and what have you, and these thoughts will come into my head. And I'll say, stop it. Stop it.
Exactly.
Okay. But then I have to stop that. I say, okay, all right. Yeah, all right, stop it, but it's okay. I understand why those thoughts are coming from. Those are from old patterns,
right.
Old tapes.
I just heard the funniest, who was it, comedy on the same thing with the thoughts, and he said, it's very simple, just say stop it.
Yeah, well, and sometimes you have to do that. As a matter of fact, I thought of something rather humorous here. You have a class coming up March 10th in relation to the Santa Barbara City College at the Scott Center, and the first line here says, if you are not completely satisfied with your life, come and learn the skills for becoming happier. Now,
is there a person on earth that is completely satisfied with their life? Please give us a call.
We would like them to be a facilitator here.
Yes.
But it brought to mind an event that happened a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I had the privilege of attending the Conscious Life Expo down in Los Angeles, and we were going through the vendors area, and it was really funny because one of the people walked up to her and asked her if she would like to have abundance. I mean, it was kind of a question, trying to draw her in, to which she responded, I already have abundance.
Good for her.
And the person just stood there,
What are you going to say?
What are you going to say? So anyway, back to the class, March the 10th at from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., room 30 in the Scott Center, 310 West Padre.
I think most people know it's right near the Cottage Hospital.
Yeah.
And these are great, great classes. We've managed to maintain this class on a no-fee basis. It is 3 hours, and it's just different ways. I guarantee you'll leave with at least five or more, many more ways, just to feel better about yourself. Little things that you can incorporate in your life.
Yeah.
For probably forever. So it's just, it's a nice way to appreciate yourself, to like yourself, just to take the time that one deserves to be happy.
Yeah. Is there any cost for this?
No, it's free. And if anybody's been following, this is through Adult Education, uh-huh. Santa Barbara City College. I would say 85% of the classes have gone to fee-base.
Yeah.
From cooking to ceramics to a lot of psychology classes. So the fact that we're still able to offer this,
yeah,
and we push for this for a non-fee basis for free, this is a big, big, big thing. And also, it can lead into the discussion of ways to support adult education.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is so, so important. So it's Saturday, 2 weeks from today, I believe, March
yeah.
10th. Can you believe March 10th is 2 weeks away?
Unreal.
At the Schott Center, Room 30, which is West Padre. Most people know where that is,
yeah.
But it's online, and it'll look up Santa Barbara City College. We have a brochure there, and it says you can register online. You can just come. You don't have to register. You can register at the door.
Okay.
And just different ways to be kinder to yourself. And what I emphasize in the book, as well as my classes, it's not about thinking what's wrong with a person. We all know what's wrong with us, and we even know why. That
yeah.
our mother wasn't there, or our father wasn't there, or the kids didn't like us in school, or much larger things.
Yeah.
But Richard, we can't go back and be 8 years old again. No matter how much no. therapy, we can't go back and change those feelings.
Yeah.
But what we can do now is think, what is it that we like about ourselves, and do more of that.
Yeah.
So that's how the book and the classes kind of, I want the client, the participant, the student to shift their focus, because we know what we focus on comes true.
Happiness is an Inside Job with Willie Young, author of Happiness Instruction Kit, No Assembly Required. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close enough.
It's very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Match Casino Resort proudly presents Vince Neil. Lead singer for legendary heavy metal group Motley Crue. Vince Neil. Live in concert. Thursday, January 12th.
Take a ride on the wild side.
The blonde bad boy frontman and vocalist for Motley Crue. Singing all your Crue favorites. Vince Neil brings his special blend of Motley Crue music and mayhem to Chumash Casino Resort. Tickets are on sale now at Club Chumash or call 800-585-3737 or order online at ChumashCasino.com. Don't miss Vince Neil of Motley Crue live January 12th at 8 p.m. Only at Chumash Casino Resort.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for staying with us. We're going to talk now with Beth McDonald, our multitasker, our astrological assignment editor. I really would like to go back to the other way, but you know, we're not going to do that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look today, class, at finding your spiritual community and your spiritual connection, which May, as far as the connection is concerned, Beth, may sound a little odd because, you know, it's like, well, but I already have my connection. I'm always talking to and listening to the universe and da-da-da-da-da-da. But don't we, but we kind of need that community to help to support us. They don't carry us, but they support us, they encourage us, and in some cases, maybe even challenge us.
Well, yes. Yes, all of those are true. And in keeping with today's theme about happiness, you know, the amount of connection and the quantity and quality of connection can really change from day to day and season to season. And even, you know, what serves one individual is very different from what serves another individual. Okay. And you have to really customize it. And this time of year, our connections are more important. When there's a lot of energy in Pisces, we're kind of, what's the best way? There's, you have more room in your mind and in your heart for those connections, for making the time for them, for tweaking them and analyzing them, you know, and making them more effective for everybody involved. But then there's also different kinds of connection. There's connection to your community, which is really kind of based on your connection to God and your paradigms. But then also that's based on your connection to yourself. And so, you know, there's several different layers to this that are easier to access right now.
And so from an astrological standpoint, what is helping us to, what is helping and insisting in that ease of access?
Well, it's different for different people. For people that are more other-directed, like for people who already have a lot of Pisces in their chart, or the sign of Cancer, which is very family-oriented, definitely spending time with other people is going to be a main route in for you. Also Sagittarians, they need a lot of social contact. Also Leos, you know, Leos are pack animals, they need a lot of contact. But Aquarians are very different. They need more alone time. They need to be left alone with their thoughts so they can figure it out on their own. And then when they figure it out, they'll get back to you.
Yeah.
You know, Aries is the same way. It's very different. But whether you're figuring it out on your own or with other people, you know, once you've figured it out, the end product is a richer, happier life experience.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that what we ought to do on these segments, in addition to what we're doing now and giving people insights on the coming week and so forth, maybe do a very brief little description of each of the 12 and what would the categorization be for this Western form of astrology?
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, right now, are we not in Aquarius, or have we shifted out of that?
It shifted. It moved. The sun's in Pisces, and Neptune is in Pisces, and Mercury's in Pisces.
Okay.
And so whenever there's more than one planet, there's just a lot more energy.
And the Pisces there is the fish.
Well, Pisces is the fish, but it's actually two fish. It's swimming in different directions.
Okay.
And it talks about the need for connection, but also the need for freedom.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's address that next week. And
awesome.
Here's my perspective on this. Because it is said that we either have already entered or are in the process of entering into the Piscean Age. And
yes.
So maybe that's a good place to start,
the
especially
Piscean
considering
Age.
That
yeah.
we are in... For those of the Catholic tradition, we are in the midst of Lent.
Yes.
Easter Sunday isn't, I'm amazing, I believe it's not until the end, near the end of April this time, I think, if I've looked at my calendar. Maybe it's the end of March. Needless to say, let's take a look at that and start with Pisces next week.
We'll start with Pisces next week.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Just a brief little insert, so people get
yeah.
an idea of the characteristics. And again, this is all based on the Western astrological calendar and,
yes.
and signs and so forth.
Yeah.
And for people who want to touch base with you, it is BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, 963-0842.
Awesome.
And we will talk to you next week about Pisces and what the two fish going in opposite directions means.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back with more on Tell Me Your Story.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health quick tip for weight loss. Make a commitment today to make good health and body fitness a priority in your life. Health is a priceless gift and is wealth. We are committed to enhancing your health. Start the day right and eat breakfast. Your mom was right. A good healthy breakfast gets your metabolism kicked off for the day. Eating breakfast is good for weight loss. In fact, people who eat breakfast are more likely to maintain a healthy weight. People falsely believe that skipping breakfast is a strategy for losing weight, but that's not true. The body needs to be refueled a few times each day, starting with breakfast. When you skip breakfast, you are more likely to become tired because your brain and body run low on fuel. Studies have shown that children who eat breakfast actually do better in school. Of course, the same logic applies to adults, since you both feel better and perform better at work.
Making a healthy breakfast, what should you eat? Ideally, a healthy breakfast should contain both protein and fiber. Protein can come from eggs or beans. Fiber can be found in whole grains, vegetables, and fruits. A good example of a healthy breakfast might be something simple, like a hard-boiled egg, an apple, and a bowl of oatmeal with a little cinnamon, or a whole grain cereal made with water. Avoid sugary cereals, syrups, pastries, and white breads because they are digested quickly, raise your blood sugar, cause weight gain, and will leave you feeling hungry and tired in a couple of hours, whereas protein and fiber satisfy your hunger and will keep you feeling full until lunchtime. Be good to yourself and know that eating a healthy breakfast is the best way to start off your day.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Understanding is what it's about here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with Willie Young, author of Happiness. Happiness Instruction Kit, No Assembly Required. And in spite of the fact that, yeah, we guys would like to have some assembly, you know, the reality is that if you don't have to put it together, it does make things a little bit easier.
Yeah,
happiness is, for a lot of people, it's elusive. A lot of people,
yes.
And I heard this interesting comment about infants when they come into this world, that they cannot experience. The analogy was used in context of pain, that a baby does not know pain until he first feels it. And I'm going, well, then a baby will never experience pain, because if the first experience of pain, in other words, it's not a loop. The loop can't even get started, because unless you have the first experience, you can't have any others. But the first experience has to be already in the head. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like you can't have the first experience until you have the first experience.
Right, right.
It's like it made no sense to me. Happiness, do we come into the world, aside from the slap on the butt when we're pulled out of mama?
See that? Yeah, yeah. Do we come into the world
happy? Do we come into the world happy?
That's a great point.
Clean.
I'm so glad you asked that, because we now know, again through research, which I love, that one has what we call a set point, a predisposition towards happiness. So what I mean by that is, genetically, we are programmed to be either 50% unhappy or less optimistic, or on the other side, 50% to be optimistic or to be happy.
Half glass full, half glass empty.
Right. And we all know people that generally, just no matter what happens, they are positive.
Uh-huh.
And we all know that if the melon isn't ripe at the market, this is a catastrophe, right? I mean,
yeah.
So we do know that genetics does, to answer your question,
okay,
does play a part. And my fear was, and I mentioned this in the book, oh, my God. People are going to say, well, I'm genetically challenged to be unhappy. It's not my fault, right? Aren't we always looking to blame somebody else? But the good news is, if one is predisposed towards being less optimistic or unhappy, you still have 50% to work with to help yourself be happier and gain more joy.
Right.
And have a better life.
What bothers me about that statistic or that piece of information is that if it's genetics,
partially.
Okay, partially. I understand partially. but even if it's partially genetic, they have already discovered so many attributes of the human being that are genetic that they are trying to manipulate in the test tube. This is just another one in a long string. I half suspect there's somebody out there who is trying to genetically alter the human being to have no emotion, so they will just go about doing the things that they are told to do.
I hope not.
Emotionlessness.
I hope
emotionally.
Not. Well, some people are so fearful of any kind of emotions because they've been hurt and they wall themselves off.
Right.
I mean, I happen to be one of those people who had an unhappy childhood through different circumstances, and I thought, aha, I got the answer.
Yeah.
I won't feel any pain. I won't get close to people. Well, there was one problem with that, which many of our listeners out there understand. If you program yourself that you're not going to feel pain because you don't want to feel loss,
right.
It usually is associated with loss, you can't feel happiness or pleasure or love. What about love? So one has to be willing to open themselves up to, as we say, pleasure or pain. But the idea is not to go through life not feeling emotion, not feeling hurt. It's to take a risk and feel love. Because I think life is really made up of moments to moment. Because we have a fleeting moment, as you mentioned, of happiness. Sometimes the more we try to be happy, oh, if only I do this, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
The more
we
try to grab onto it, like bubbles. You blow bubbles, the kids, it disappears.
Yeah.
And also, so it's moment to moment. It's those moments in life that we can recognize that do bring us joy. I love flowers. It's sometimes looking at a rose a certain way or a certain look with my husband or my son or a good friend.
Right.
Or a certain letter or a compliment. And that goes right into the second great treasure. Happiness is about love, if we can express ourselves. And I invite everybody out there to tell a family member, a friend, somebody that they care about them, that they love them.
Yeah.
You know, don't wait to the funeral to send flowers. Send flowers today. And that's a good way of taking care of yourself all the time, because when people pass away or they move away, what do we often say? God, I wish I would have told them such and such.
And then there will be those who say, well, now you can talk to them all the time. But it's not the same.
Well, you can, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
And so we want to take care of ourselves as almost an insurance policy to say everything you can today. Gee, I really appreciate you. And I do appreciate you for inviting me on the program.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Thank you. We can't be afraid to express our feelings.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the other person says, listen, go. I have to go take a shower. I don't care what you say. That's irrelevant. We do it for ourselves.
Right. The downside, of course, is that we have been trained to react to the response of the other person
based upon what we're right.
That's where the kicker is, that if we could just offer it and then not
be associated with the outcome.
Number one, not care, but number two, not care when the outcome might very well be, hey, I'm sorry, I got to go.
Absolutely.
I don't care what you said, I
got to
go.
And what is it? It's almost a joke when you say to a loved one, I love you, and then what are you waiting for? I love you too.
Yeah. I remember there were a couple of television programs that actually played that little scenario out to the couple. And the one says to the other, I love you, and the other one is stuttering. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. That
very
used to be
much.
It. Yes. But
that is like, okay. Why is it that your love for this person is, or whether it's love or whatever
kindness,
the sentiment is,
maybe
kindness, whatever the kindness is, and my mind is racing now, I think of that movie, Pay It Forward.
There was no
expectation.
Yes, and that's what we all maybe want to strive for.
Yeah.
Pay it forward. Don't be attached to the outcome.
Yeah.
Do things just because you want to do things, and the outcome, the payoff is, we feel better about ourselves. When you do something nice for, first of all, yourself, that makes you feel great. But if you do something nice for somebody else, you, as the person, feel so much better. So it doesn't matter what the other, sure, it would be nice if the other person says, you know, I think you're the greatest person in the world. Thank you for sharing, and you've done this. But we really don't need that. We're doing it for ourselves.
Now, you're a marriage and family therapist.
Right.
You're also a dental hygienist.
I am a dental hygienist, mental and dental.
Mental and dental. I like that.
Yes. people. I specialize above the neck only.
That's right. From the neck only. And what's interesting is you also specialize, not exclusively, but with what comes out of the mouth. Sometimes teeth.
Yes.
And sometimes,
very good.
Sometimes touching moments. What was it that drove you or pulled you or caused you to look in this direction as far as a career? Because it seems to me that this is not a job for you.
No, it's not a job.
It's a vocation.
Right. Are you talking about the marriage family therapy?
The marriage therapy, yeah. Because to me, I see the dental hygienist more as a little more practical. You're subsidizing your book tour.
But yes and no, because I was a dental hygienist years before I went back to school to become a therapist.
Okay.
People at the chair, you'd be surprised, would tell me their whole life story. And after we were finished, they'd run their tongue over their teeth and say, oh, my teeth feel so great, but I feel so much better after talking to you.
I just want to know how they were.
I know, everybody says it. Everybody says it.
But it's a whole other language. But tell me, how did you get started in all of this?
So then I fast forward and I thought, where do I want to be in 20 years? Do I want to be at the chair dealing with people's teeth? And I still do work now and I love it. Or do I want to be sitting talking about their life? So it's a nice combination. I went back to school and one complements the other because you're right. Dentistry is a physical skill.
Yeah.
And psychology is a mental skill. But I've been fascinated ever since I was a kid about people's happiness. I would see some people, a lot of my parents' friends, that seemed to have everything. I grew up in Miami, and it was show business time. My dad was a theatrical agent, and we always had celebrities over the house, from Judy Garland, the old days when I was a kid,
wow,
all kinds of celebrities. And some people seemingly would seem so happy with nothing. Other people had it all and were miserable.
Yeah.
So I was fascinated. Like, what's the difference? Why are some people so happy with nothing, and other people are happy? What was the dichotomy there? Excuse me. So I was always interested in how that worked. And I was always interested in people. I could read people. People always would tell me their life story. And I found that very fascinating. How could I help other people? And being a shy kid growing up, when you turn inside, you learn a lot about yourself. You become an observer of the world.
Yeah.
People that aren't really talkative, that hang back, kids that hang back, they're watching.
Yeah.
They pick up on signals.
Well, you and my wife are apparently coming from the same cloth because she has the same experiences in her field that people just open up to her.
Yes.
Because
yes,
they have nobody else to talk to.
And we all want to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, we all want to feel that we matter.
Yeah.
And I give workshops all over town, different areas, how to like yourself more. Because you're going to be more successful, let's face it, in any field, if you have some self-confidence.
Yeah.
If you feel you're good enough.
And I had an interesting experience earlier in my career where I came across this one gentleman who came into the radio station to produce some radio shows, and he came dressed in a nice suit and tie and the whole thing. And I was perceiving him as so arrogant and egotistical. I was like, oh my gosh. And he was of a particular nationality. And I had the opportunity, I had a good friend who was also of the same nationality, and I shared this observation with her. I said, what's going on here? I mean, he looks real nice, but he just seems so arrogant. She says, no, that's not arrogance.
Shyness?
That's confidence.
I
was perceiving it as arrogance because he knew what he was doing and what he wanted. He wasn't throwing his weight around, but it was just my perception of what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
She says, no, he just knows what he wants to do. He's just very confident in who he is and what he is about. And that's with that particular nationality, which I shall not mention, that's the way they are. They're very confident people.
Well, I think a lot of people are unhappy because they don't know what they want. So if you don't know what you want,
right,
how can you find it?
Exactly.
You can't.
Yeah.
So you have to have an idea of what you want. If it's happiness, then you have to take a couple of steps.
But doesn't it also go back to that we talked just a little bit ago about sharing a feeling with someone with no expectation of
absolutely
the outcome? Well, what about the same thing for self? How do I balance the shyness versus the egotism when I say, not I love what I do, but I'm good at what I do? And there's nothing wrong with telling people that you're good at what you do.
Yes.
In the proper context, as opposed to going out on the street corner, I'm good at what I do.
You know. Well, you could do that too, but...
Sure. But well, see, that's the that part of our social problem here
it
now?
It is, and that's another good point. A lot of us grew up with, don't tell people how good you are. You'll be conceited.
Conceited, that's the word.
Right? You'll be I happen to be raised in a family the complete opposite. I mean, if we got out of bed in the morning in one piece, my mother applauded. I mean, it was also always my grandfather told everybody how great his grandkids were. So I had the, thank goodness, I mean, I was still shy, but I had the opposite experience. But many people grow up with, don't tell anybody how great you are because then you're conceited. But I think we all need to tell, firstly, ourselves how great we are.
Okay.
Even if we don't believe it. Give ourselves a pat on the back, as I said. Give ourselves self-talk. We're doing great.
Right.
Everything's going to be okay. And it's not that, if you apply for a job, what are you going to say? I'm not good at what I do? No, fake it till you make it. I'm the best person you're ever going to find for this position. Because nobody wants to hire, oh, like you started the program, oh, I don't feel good at all. Yeah, I'll take the job. So we have to have some self-confidence.
Yeah.
And if we don't have it for the people that are listening, start to pretend that you have it. Find one thing that you're good at.
Yeah.
One little thing.
And
you build on that.
Something.
That's what we tell kids. Find one thing, one little sport that you're good at. Could be collecting stamps. Great. Maybe the kid's not a soccer player.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the particulars are. So start with one thing that you like. Maybe you're a good house cleaner.
Yeah.
Great. Because we negate the little things.
I know, too, that to be an artist in any arena is not the best field to go into, especially if your family may come from the Midwest in particular, and they were steel workers or farmers or what have you. Art, are you nuts? There's no money in art.
Yes, yes.
But the interesting thing that I think that we are starting to find out is that you cannot escape the basics of math and English and writing and reading and even science, even in the arts. Because in order to create certain things, and I was talking with a local glassblower, a master craftsman,
mm-hmm.
and I was asking him about the various types of glasses. I said, well, what about Coke bottles? Like, could we toss those into your furnace? Oh, no, you can't do that.
Because he knows the molecular.
He knows they're different pieces, makeup. Different type of glass, different molecular makeup.
Well, education's a great thing. I mean, I'm a big fan of any kind of education. The more education you have, the more options you have in life.
Yeah.
The better understanding you have in life. So go for the options. I mean, I happen to have two careers. I had three or four careers because my son grew up and a parent's a full-time wonderful career.
Yeah.
So it's all about options. And that's why I love to speak to the different groups in Santa Barbara or all over. I go to LA a lot to speak or back east to speak. Concentrate on what you're doing right and do more of that. Constantly give yourself praise. Tell yourself you're lovable and capable. I was lucky because my mom suffered tragedy, but I was lucky in that she was very optimistic, and she had some catchphrases, and one that I quote all the time, it was, out of something bad comes something good.
Mm.
So maybe the sky is falling that day, and you don't know something good's going to happen, but if you're programmed, something good will come of this, even if you don't believe it, or I'm good enough. Or if I lose something, no good is ever lost.
Right.
And if you constantly tell yourself this, then it becomes automatic. And you start to like yourself. Yeah. Tell yourself, I'm a good person. Remember, you don't have to believe it at that moment.
Right.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah.
The brain can fool you. That's all we have to fool. We don't have to fool anybody else but our brain. So if our brain responds, which it will in time, you start to feel better and better. And you don't have to feel on top of the world every day. It's okay to feel depressed. It's okay to give yourself permission to feel depressed. In the book, I say, you can throw a pity party.
Yeah.
Tell yourself it's horrible. Don't serve hors d'oeuvres. Don't live there.
I've heard the phrase, too, that that confusion is a great state to be in because you don't have to take responsibility.
Well, sometimes confusion can help. A lot
but
of
the taxation rate is very high.
That's
very
true.
High. Let me ask you before we run out of...
Expensive real estate.
Well, that's true. And unfortunately, real estate's going fast because a lot of people are choosing to put up stakes there. Who is Willie Young?
Willie Young is a kind, compassionate, caring person who likes to bring joy to the world and in turn bring joy to others, who wants people to know that every single person out there can be happy, no matter what your circumstances are in life, no matter if you're suffering through a loss, the sun will shine tomorrow. No matter what it is, you too can definitely be happy. And we say one day at a time. Absolutely. Go outside, look at the sky, take a deep breath, realize that you're still here. Have faith in yourself. That's all you need to do. Have faith in yourself. And if today you don't have faith in yourself, pretend that you do. Yeah. Take your hand up to your mouth, give yourself a little kiss. Even if you don't mean it,
It
will become a habit. So it's really pay it forward, as you said earlier. Realize also that at any moment, we're really doing the best we can. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Be compassionate.
And what do you hope or want to achieve through the work you're doing?
The same thing I just said. If we can learn to like ourselves a little bit, if we can learn to be kinder to ourselves. The Dalai Lama said kindness is his religion. But think about it. If each person felt just a little bit better about themselves, a little kinder, well, then I don't have to go next door and rob the other person because I feel good. I have enough myself.
Yeah.
So that can cut down on violence. That can cut down on crime. If I don't have to numb my feelings out because I feel generally, not every second, but okay about myself, there goes the drugs. Alcoholism is a disease, but maybe we could cut down on some of that. So without a cliche, I just think it makes the world certainly a better place, but it makes our immediate daily living better. And we don't have control of a lot of things.
Your website is willayoung.com.
And also you can email me, which it'll say there, WilliamsGroup@AOL.
Okay.
Also 805-899-7333.
Go ahead and give that number one more time.
805-899-7333. I'm available to speak to groups that want to hear my message of just how to be nicer and kinder to yourself, more successful in business, more successful in relationships. And please come to the class on March 10th, 2 weeks from today, 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock rather, 10 to 1, the Schott Center, room 30. And just, you know, we're a community here in Santa Barbara. Yeah. We're a community of the world. We just want to like ourselves. Just be kinder and nicer to yourself. We're all so terrific. We deserve happiness.
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely, we do. Willa, thank you so much for joining us on
thank
the program.
Thank you.
And the book, again, is Happiness Instruction Kit, No Assembly Required. My guest, again, Willa Young. And she is available at willayoung.com. The book and all the good information, the email address, and we encourage you to
And you can buy it at Skin Deep on Upper State Street. I wanted to mention Skin Deep, Upper State Street. It's a fabulous
store. Next to the post office, folks.
Next to the post
office. For those who live in...
The most wonderful store. So go in. They have several copies. Skin
and
Deep.
And if that's not incentive enough to come visit Santa Barbara, because everybody knows who lives here knows where the post office is, Upper State Street,
yes,
and Skin
Sam
Deep.
Yes, Sam Rogieri.
They'll direct you right there. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this same time, and I encourage you to tune in every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and rebroadcast. Love, Talal.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a man hold right now until the go-no-go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.